Hey guys, this is Evan, co-host of Locked On Cavs, your daily Cleveland Cavaliers podcast, which is part of the Locked On Podcast Network. I hope that was fun for you, because it was fun for me, because I did it in the most radio voices possible. But on today's episode, Chris and I had the opportunity to talk to Haley O'Shaughnessy of The Ringer to discuss Kevin Love and the ongoing situation for the Cavs. We break down possible trade scenarios and locations that we think might be in the best interest of the team, is more importantly, Kevin as well. And we even touch base a little bit on the always blossoming Cleveland t-shirt economy and the new popular moniker for Cleveland's backcourt of the future, Sexland. Just a quick aside, Chris was recording this from his phone. I was recording this from home. And so there might be just a little dip in audio quality on his end. But yeah, no, please sit back, enjoy, give Haley a follow on Twitter at Haley or something, and Chris and I will be back tomorrow to probably talk about Cavs Lakers, Cavs Clippers, and maybe we'll dive in a few more mailbag questions. Thanks. Go Cavs.
You are Locked On Cavaliers, your daily Cleveland Cavaliers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Hey guys, welcome to Locked On Cavs. This is Evan. Today, I am joined with my co-host, Chris Manning, and we're also joined by The Ringer's Haley O'Shaughnessy. Haley, thanks for coming on. How are you doing?
Of course. I'm doing wonderful. How are y'all?
Can't complain. It's a little chilly up in Cleveland, but, that's winter for you, and that's just how weather is here year-round. It's actually funny. The lady at the gas station told me the other day, because it was 60 degrees out 2 days ago, and she says, we're going to have winter until April and May, and I'm like, yep, it's only inevitable at this point.
I will spare you the details of the weather in Los Angeles, because it is quite the opposite. The sun is shining through my window.
Is Kevin Love going to want to leave Los Angeles? Like, he's got the weather now. He was drinking wine with LeBron last night, or at least they were sharing bottles of wine. Like, is he going to want to leave? Like, are we just going to get like a hostage situation now? Like, is that where we're at?
Fortunately, I don't think the Clippers or the Lakers can afford him. So I think you're fine there.
Okay.
Well, I guess just to get things underway, Haley, you have been on the ball with everything, with this whole Kevin Love thing. Is actually really funny, because you reported in your piece for Three Trade Destinations for Kevin that 48 minutes into the new year, you were even on your reporting game with the whole situation. And I guess just as an outsider looking in on just the Cavs as a whole, Kevin's drama included, do they come across as crazy to you as they do to people locally?
Broadly, before this season, I mean, Dan Gilbert is a wild man, and I don't mean that in a fun way.
That's fair.
More recently, the slug controversy from last week is also a bit grim, but funny in a very dark way. I love messiness. You guys have been very messy recent years, especially with LeBron, but overall, I think I've been a bit more sad for the Cavs since LeBron's left than have been considering that they're crazy. With Kevin Love, I think he's really fun. This whole situation has been really fun. I wish he didn't apologize, though I understand why he did, because he blasted the ball at a teammate and basically mentally told his coach that he was doing a terrible job. But I love Kevin Love, and I wrote one time that he's one of the best sports in the NBA. He's, meaning like he's a good sport. He got a lot of passive aggressive grief from LeBron. He signed on to stay in Cleveland, even though I guess he had expected to leave at the time. But there aren't many positive headlines for the Cavs, I'm sure you guys well know. So I think this is fun. I don't know. Maybe you guys aren't having fun with it. Are you having fun with Kevin Love?
I'm having fun with it. This is a pro let Kevin Love be messy podcast, at least for me, because like I just think back to a lot to like Kevin Love. I don't know if you remember when he got the rebound and then like shoved it in Isaiah, like bent down and shoved it into Isaiah Thomas's chest. Like, this is like always the outcome for Kevin if he was going to resign. And it's like kind of amazing that like he's being Kevin, and then like Tristan, who if you Google Tristan Thompson, like his basketball reference page doesn't come up. Like, E online stories about him and the Kardashians comes up. Like, you don't get basketball stuff with him. That Kevin Love is like the messiest person on the Cavs right now, and it's kind of like truly entertaining. Although I do wish he wouldn't have apologized. I was like, you said, like, he kind of had to, and it would have been, like, very weird if he was like, yeah, like, I did tell Kobe Altman to find me because I – to find me whatever because I have lots of money. Like, he probably did have to walk that back.
I just Googled Tristan Thompson to see if that was accurate, and you're right. The first three things say Kim Kardashian and Kanye watch Lakers, smash Cavs, Khloe's ex, Tristan Thompson. And then two more links to the same story, so – You're right. Oh, also Kim Kardashian spotted booing Tristan Thompson. See, that's fun. You guys have a lot of fun.
Fun's one way.
When they showed up in games and they had, like, entourages, it's not quite as, like, entertaining when it's just, like, the gossip stuff. But, yeah, Kevin Love in himself is, like, still just, like, a very fun bit with everything he does.
Mm-hmm. Agreed.
Yeah, no, it's just – fun's a good way to put it, I guess I'd want to say. I'm – like Chris and I say, we're both firmly in the camper. Let Kevin be himself because he kind of deserves it at this point. Like, he sacrificed a lot when he came to Cleveland, and, you know, I believe he was sold a false bill of goods when he signed this extension here. And I'm fine with him doing whatever, but it's also just a bit of a bummer at the same time because I wish, because the Cavs suck. Let's just be 100 with each other. I wish they wouldn't make the headlines for all the wrong reasons. I just kind of wish this rebuild period just kind of went along as smoothly as possible, and we have a sad but quiet farewell for Kevin when he eventually and inevitably flipped to a contender.
Yeah.
And actually, that kind of segues me into my next point. If you had to pick out of the entire landscape of the NBA, where do you think ideally would be the best place for Kevin to land?
Kevin's perspective, and I guess for the other team's perspective, not really considering what Cleveland would get as a return, I think my favorite is the Blazers because it seems like it'd be the most mutually pleasant for both of them. Like, Love seems to want to go there. That was in a couple reports because they desperately need a real front court presence and he could be used and, you know, he wants to go home. And I think also it'd be really nice for them to have a modern front court presence. And I think he and Nurk would be a really opportune fit once Nurk returns. For me, Portland, it doesn't make sense for Portland to not be in the playoffs, even if I selfishly want one of those other weirdo teams to sneak in who are all fighting for the eighth. Dame and CJ not being in the playoffs would just be a shame all around because this year has been so bad because of injuries mainly, and neither of them deserve it. They're both so great, and they always fall short, and it's sad to see. I'm sure, like, you guys, when I say sad to see, you're like, you don't know sad. But, I mean, for them, they just always fall short year after year, and eventually this experiment's going to have to end. So it would be fun to see the front office, who was also so criticized in 2016, to make a move like this for it to pay off.
Yeah, no, I'd agree with you. I think Portland would be, for at least Kevin personally, would be his preferred destination just because, like you said, it just all kind of works out. And no, I get what you mean where you're coming up short and, like, it's just heartbreaking to watch it happen because that first year when the Cleveland lost the finals to Golden State was when I was like, oh, they maybe have a chance. And then that was just a real bummer all around just because of everything that happened. But, you know, at this point, at this juncture with the Cavs, like, they're going to lose a lot, but I try and find positives. But 2016 was, oh my God, only 4 years ago, and I'm still riding off that high a little bit. So I'm okay with Cleveland coming up short. And, you know, it'd be really cool to see guys like Damian and even a local guy like CJ who went to Glen Oak, which isn't that far from Cleveland, actually vie for an NBA championship and have the Blazers go on would be a lot of fun. Chris, what about you? What would you be your preferred destination for Kevin if you were just looking at his best interest and not the team's best interest?
Yeah, I think it's Portland because even if they don't make the playoffs this year, they can say, like, okay, next year we roll in with DJ, Dame, Nurk, and Kevin, and then maybe they, like, I don't know, it's Rodney Hood towards Achilles, and they have some other pieces to figure out what to do with, but, like, you can talk yourself into that being useful. And also, just like for Kevin, I think that is a place that he does want to go because you do, if you read the tea leaves, Channing Frye is a guy on Twitter just like airing all of the dirty laundry he can. And when he's like also said early in the year, like, I think I would like to see Kevin in Portland. Like, I don't think Channing, like, obviously isn't like Kevin's mouthpiece, but like, he's not going to say something that I don't think Kevin would be super comfortable with because they are friends. I think Portland makes the most sense. And I keep running through different options. Like, Haley obviously wrote about Denver, and there's, like, other places like Miami that people floated, or Brooklyn. Portland's the only one that I can, like, see, like, justifying it in terms of the basketball fit and also the money fit. Like, why? Like, I can't see Pat Riley being like, I'm going to just take Kevin Love and not try to sign Giannis in 2 years. Or, like, Denver being like, well, we're just going to, like, commit our cap space to Kevin, Jokic, and Jamal Murray when we have other stuff that comes and, like, clearly that tilts us in one direction of the floor. Portland's just, like, the only one that makes sense. And even that, like, it doesn't sound as if from everything that's out there, like, that they're, like, super in a rush to do anything quite like that, even though they have, like, the trade chip in Hassan Whiteside's contract to facilitate the deal money-wise.
Yeah, I don't know. It'll definitely be interesting to see what happens going forward. Chris and I guess to pivot, Haley, if you had to pick, though, in the best interest of the Cavs instead, like, they just tell Kevin to, we don't really care personally where you go. We're going to do what's in the best interest of the organization. Do you think there's a package out there that Cleveland could swing Kevin for at the deadline or even the summer at this point that could possibly set this rebuild in motion to a degree where they're not bottom feeders for the foreseeable future?
Kevin is 31, and he's missed 88 games over the last three seasons, and he has shortcomings on the court, and he also has that contract. So, I mean, I was going to ask you all what return would be most appealing of all the potential ones you've seen so far, because this is basically, I mean, wonderfully, like, this is a good thing that you guys should be optimistic about, completely in the Cavs' hands. And a lot of teams, like I've written about, like you suggested, Miami could use him. And they're all teams that have things that potentially I think you could want. The problem is with somewhere like Portland, you have to think that they're proposing like sending Hassan, which for you guys doesn't really make any sense. Anyone who has who's on an expiring or just has a big contract that'll eat up a lot for a while and then free up space, unless you have a lot of faith in Kobe pulling off a trade. I don't see anyone signing there, like a major free agent of their own free will. Sorry to say that.
Not
Miami. It's not LA. So, you know, it depends on can they pull off what the Thunder pulled off this summer. I mean, no one can to that degree, but at the same time, you're going to want to invest in future things that you can play around with, maybe trade in picks later if the rebuild escalates quicker than you think. But you're going to want to get a lot of young assets. And as far as the teams that have those to give to you, I mean, I think maybe Denver is the most appealing of them all. There's the Suns, who, you know, that would also be interesting for me. They have the Johnsons. A lot of these teams also, like, do have future picks that y'all can look at. But that's the other thing is that, you know, what I was talking about before, he's 31, big contract, doesn't play super great defense, injury prone. So it's kind of a question of, I'm not really sure what you can get back from him in terms of that. But I was wondering that actually for you guys, from your perspective, what you think would be the best and most realistic deal?
Actually, I think Chris and I are both kind of firmly in the same camp, and he's the one who kind of put this bug in my ear to begin with, so I'm going to let him take the reins on this one about the mythical Phoenix package that we kind of float around back and forth between each other.
Oh, I can't wait to hear it.
So if James Jones, who, by the way, good friends with Kevin Love, was like, I will give you Mikal Bridges a pick and then an expiring contract, like, I think the Cavs would have to be over the moon with that. Like, I think that's about as good as you're going to get. But, like, I also, like, wonder if they've been a team in the past that has been, like, we want cap space. Like, why would we risk our cap space even though they're probably not going to sign anybody? Like, they were not that far removed from them, like, signing Tyson Chandler to try and sign LaMarcus Aldridge. Like, that's a very Phoenix Suns thing to do. But if they called and were like, okay, they don't play Dario Saric a lot now, maybe you could get him and, like, Bridges a pick in the contract. Like, the Cavs would have to be, like, over the moon with that. I'm conditioned with this for it to just be, like, a very, like, underwhelming situation where it's, like, let's say it is Phoenix. It's going to be, like, a pick in Tyler Johnson and, like, one kind of meh player. So maybe it's Sarge, who you have to pay this summer, I think, anyway. Or, like, if it's Portland, it's going to be, like, Hassan Whiteside, who the Cavs should immediately just buy out because, like, I just – that's a little too much for me. and like what little or like Zach Collins has been hurt, but like I don't think you're getting anything that you feel like good about. I love the OKC thing because Sam Presti like obviously did a great job. He got Shea, like he maybe can still flip CP3 into something, and they might make the playoffs anyway. They also got all of those picks that like theoretically should be good. There's no way the Cavs are going to get anything close to that. And I sort of assume that when Kevin signed this deal and the Cavs offered it to him, I sort of assumed that they thought they could do that, be it now or be it whenever. Like, I sort of just assumed that, like, they thought they were being value lords and were just going to be able to get whatever they wanted. But if they got that Suns package, like, you tell Kevin, like, we'll just go. Like, this is done. And if you can get that, you do it 100 times out of 100.
Yeah, I don't think that them re-signing him was a bad move. I think, like, at the time I had kind of a negative reaction because I was just like, we'll lean right into the rebuild. But it really does make sense if players don't fall in your lap like Kevin Love all the time to re-sign them with the intention of trading them later. I think a good example of that, although the age difference and there's a lot that's different about this comparison I'm about to make, but D'Angelo Russell with the Warriors. When that happened, in my mind, I was like, so they're going to sign him to trade him, which makes a lot of sense because they're not sure what their team's going to look like without Kevin when Clay's healthy, when Steph's healthy, you know, Draymond is going to be another year older. So I think it's smart to have that form of asset as well that you know that you can just trade off later, especially for a team like Cleveland, who will probably need to make these trades all the time in the future to bring in what they want. So yeah, I think that's good. I also really like that trade from you guys. That's good.
Yeah, no, it's a bit of an awkward situation all around because I think Kobe, you can draw a lot of comparisons to Kevin's situation. I mean, the caliber of player is obviously different, but Kyle Korver allegedly had a verbal agreement. It might have been written, just I don't remember off the top of my head, with the front office that in the event LeBron leaves or if the Cavs weren't going to be a contender, that Cleveland would do their best to flip him to a team that had playoff chances. And it kind of blew up in their face, and eventually they flipped him to Denver, but I feel like it's just one of those situations where the Cavs need to toe this line carefully, where they obviously are going to be trying to do what's best in the interest of the organization, and that Korver trade ended up working out nicely for them because in the end it netted them the that Rockets pick that eventually became Dylan Windler. But at the same time, I think the caliber of player Kevin Love is for the organization, especially just how meaningful he was for those championship runs, they have to do right by him as well. And I don't think, like, just the way is the market shaking out right now and how it's starting to shape up and look like it's going to be a quiet trade deadline, I'm just kind of interested to see if doing right by Kevin just ends up not being in the best interest of the organization. Like you said, and I think we all three of us agree that Portland package would be the best possible thing to do right by Kevin. It's just the return may be a little underwhelming, at least for people on the outside looking in for the organization. And I guess that's just where my thought process is.
No.
Chris, go ahead.
With the Cavs, like, looking at what we know now, do you think it might have – I've come to wonder, like, if both sides would have just been better off had they just not signed the deal. And I don't know, like, if that's right. I don't know if that's right for anybody. I certainly think if Kevin doesn't get hurt last year, like, this maybe all plays out a little bit differently and maybe a little more holistically. But do you think there's any merit to the idea that, like, maybe everyone was just better off going their separate ways sort of – like at the end of that contract and Kevin, or maybe even like a 1-1 instead of kind of committing the amount of money and years that the Cavs did on that Kevin Love.
I don't know. It really, 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 that's like the easy answer, but it really will depend on what they can pull off. And I actually have never gotten like a good gauge on how confident Cavs fans are in Kobe. I have no gauge on that at all. But I'm not sure. It depends on if they do something really foolish or take like way too little, or if they can't pull it off at all. Like, you know, if Kevin gets hurt again or something catastrophic like that. So I think it depends on a lot of factors. If he does get hurt again or if something happens or if no teams trade for him and, you know, they have to wait another year, maybe. But again, just because of the Cavs not being a major destination. And then also, like, again, I have no idea what he could pull off in a trade. I do think it's probably best that they signed him to this.
No, I totally agree with you in that regard. It's just you asked us what our perception of Kobe is. He definitely is, in my opinion at least, of the David Griffin school of general managing. He kind of operates a little bit in the shadows and pulls off trades that definitely surprises a lot of us. That Jordan Clarkson trade being the latest one that just kind of surprised me, to say the least. And I could see, like you said, he could easily pull off a trade where it completely blows everyone away. I mean, he just blew up Cleveland's roster in LeBron's last season here just to try and salvage locker room chemistry in the season in itself. And, I mean, it could happen again, but the odds definitely feel stacked against him. But I still, I guess just to answer your question a little bit more is I don't know what to think of Kobe really yet. I think I have to give him maybe another year or two to really give him an idea, but hey, he's the first general manager to get an extension under Dan Gilbert, so that's definitely saying something. So hopefully he's got
this
the right...
This will be a good litmus test then. This will be a good test.
Yeah.
Definitely, because this extension will be something that's kind of... Go ahead, Chris, sorry.
Yeah, I think it's worth learning too. Like, he gave us the... He hasn't spoken to, like, us as media members in a while, but he did, like, give this talk at Goldman Sachs, which is not what you want, but basically said like that he views the Cavs like more as like a technology company than anything else, to paraphrase him. And I feel like that really influences like how I view what he's doing, is that he views them as sort of like this operation that is trying to be mobile and nimble and like have its hand in a bunch of different stuff and like try to do stuff that's maybe off the wall. I don't like know if that works. Like, I don't know if that analogy works in an NBA context, but I think it's I think that's really, to me, is like the best clear vision of like what we've got. It's David Griffin. They talk about culture. The Beeline hire was his, and we'll see if that works out. But I think he does view things in a way that is like trying to be a modern kind of GM, in a way that I think does directly kind of complement David Griffin's school of thought. I think that's right from that point.
Well, Haley, before we let you go, we actually have a little bit of a funner quote unquote question. You went to the University of Louisville, correct?
I did, yes.
Okay, I just want to make sure I don't want to seem too creepy asking that, but let's just say coming, Miss O'Shaughnessy.
I think I make it pretty known. It's okay.
Okay. But let's say you're a top five pick in this upcoming draft class coming out of Louisville, and Cleveland was a team that wants to work you out and possibly select you with their likely top five pick. Would you or would you not want to be drafted by the Cavaliers?
Well, I'm pretty sure you said Louisville, so that's the way to my heart is pronouncing it correctly.
Well, I lived in Cincinnati for a few years, so I've been around a lot of Louisville.
Oh, did you? That's great.
Yeah.
That's great. So. My mom lives over there. Okay. I don't want your listeners to hate me. You all have breweries, right?
Cleveland,
you know what you're known for, breweries?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. So, yeah, there you go. I love breweries. I'd be very excited.
You know what? I think that's the perfect answer to give without offending anybody, and I think you didn't do yourself to Cleveland fans pretty quickly, because it's breweries and sports that either pull off the inevitable or the impossible, I should say, in 2016, or just break your heart every year. So I think your answer is the perfect answer.
Thank you.
No problem. Chris, is there anything you want to say before we let Haley go?
Yeah, Haley, last thing. You mentioned it, people will link to a bunch of the stuff that we've referenced that Haley wrote at The Ringer, but the latest thing was as part of a staff thing about the tiers of the NBA. We got a sex plan mentioned in The Ringer. Just for the record, are you pro or against the moniker sex plan for Darius Garland and Colin Sexton?
I love it so much. I think I heard it like, it's been months. It's honestly been months, but I obviously didn't hear it when it was at its inception. But it's so wonderful. It sounds like one of those, like signs for a sex shop off the highway in Tennessee when there's nothing else around, like a McDonald's and a sex shop. That's what I think of when I think of Sexland. So it's really, truly wonderful. And for a while, it was the only wonderful thing about them. But it's getting a lot better. It's getting a lot better.
No, I mean, we'll give a quick shout out to our fellow writers at Fear the Sword and the hosts of the Chase Down podcast, Justin Rowan and Carter Rodriguez, the guys who came up with that. And no, definitely, if you happen to pick up a Sexland shirt, they'd be definitely happy. And it's definitely a nickname that has stuck, and there's a lot of opportunities with just those two alone to come up with some pretty interesting interesting nicknames. One I floated with Justin, and this is probably going to spoil the surprise for everyone, is if when Sexton transitions to the bench, I said, hey, you could be the sixth man of the year. And he's just like, you know what? I'm going to print a t-shirt. So like Chris and I told before we started recording, Chris and I told you there's a bit of a t-shirt economy when it comes to puns in Cleveland sports. And that one is just another one of them. But, Haley, thank you again so much for coming on. We really appreciate it. Is there anything you want to plug or just throw out there for our listeners just to find you? Actually, real quick, where can they find you on social and everything just so they can keep up with your work?
My Twitter is at Haley O something because my last name is O'Shaughnessy and nobody can spell it. And I've written a couple of things about Kevin Love. And then tomorrow I'm going to have bizarrely titled piece called Why Is This a Thing or Is This a Thing? I don't remember what we settled on, but it's a bunch of mid-season questions. So that'll be out tomorrow. But it's Haley O something.
All right, awesome. Everyone, please give Haley a follow on Twitter and keep your eyes peeled for that. And no, thank you again for coming on. We really appreciate it.
Yeah, of course. This is fun.